we can pass the, has implied that we can pass this tonight and create effective rulemaking in a broad-based, robust public process. So, and I urge you to do that. Tonight, there's four of you here. The biggest income landlord is temporarily out of his seat, or maybe out of his seat for good. So vote tonight, pass it. We're a good, compassionate city. We need to save the lives. We can tweak the things through rules and regulations so that those poor people who are going to give up $18,000 in fees to get their fourplex vacated will be okay.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Commissioner.
Before we get to discussion, I also just want to put one other issue in that Justin Wood of the Home Builders Association brought to my attention. He said that when they buy a property that's got a lot of developable land and also an existing house, which they're eventually going to demolish and turn into a housing project, that they will rent that house out to somebody who knows that it's only going to be for a short time but is willing to take it. And so it provides a little bit more rental housing. It's at an affordable price. So I would hope that we would try to think of some way for that particular example, perhaps, or maybe not. I wouldn't want to be... The home builders would just not rent out that property if it means they have to then pay relocation expenses. So I just wanted to bring that in as an additional point because I hadn't heard it in testimony out here today.
So here's what I would propose as far as the strategy ahead. We have three broad sets of amendments currently on the table. We have Commissioner Fish's that started out as a general statement to consider a rulemaking process. We had Commissioner Fritz's, which was a non-defined potential exemption for smaller landlords. And we have Commissioner Udaly's collective amendments that clean up some of the questions around the relocation assistance provisions, as well as the backward look into the existing 90 days required by the current housing ordinance. If it's acceptable to my colleagues, I'd suggest we just sort of work through those issues one at a time in that order. If that works, then Commissioner Udaly gets the last word. Okay. Commissioner Fish.
And we've asked staff to come up. And to all of you who have been with us for now almost 5.5 hours, thanks for sticking around. Democracy in action. And we'll try to bring this home to a soft landing. So I had originally... asked that an amendment be drafted for some process to follow that was like rulemaking. After listening to testimony and thinking about this in the course of the afternoon, what I want to instead propose is that we direct the Portland Housing Bureau to establish an advisory body comprised of representatives from landlords, tenants, and other interested parties to review any proposed changes to the law, that hopefully in the nature of improvements, but it would also address unintended consequences or other concerns people raise, and to report to council as needed, but at least prior to October 7th, 2017. Do I have a second?
A second for discussion purposes.
And the idea here is to bring together interested parties who, following tonight, can discuss proposed changes and improvements in the law, can address unintended consequences or other concerns, have a formal process for then the Housing Bureau bringing those to council's attention and, if necessary, for council action. But at least a report would issue prior to October 7th, 2017, which is the date on which this council will decide whether to extend the housing emergency. And since this ordinance is pegged to the housing emergency, Mayor, I would want to have something more formal prior to that date if there are substantive changes which are recommended by the Housing Bureau to improve this ordinance as suggested by either tenants or landlords. That's my amendment.
Very good. Is there any discussion on that? I think it seems like a good idea.
I've discussed it with Matthew Scheibel, and he concurs. We'll want to flush it out if it's accepted, but I think you get the gist of it.
Okay, so let me ask, given sort of the nebulous nature of the original amendment, can I suggest that you withdraw the original amendment and that this now has been moved and seconded?
Substitute.
Very good. Carla, please call the roll.
Aye.
Fish.
I thank my colleagues, and I have made extensive notes tonight of suggestions people have made, concerns they've placed on the record, ideas. And it, my intention is to create a process where we can thoroughly vet and evaluate those ideas and, if appropriate, come back to council for further refinement. Aye.
Aye.
Daly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So the amendment is adopted. So the next one up was Commissioner Fritz. Hers pertained to smaller landlords. Commissioner Fritz.
I have actually had two, but I first need to get an answer from staff about does this apply when a 12-month lease is done?
That is correct.
Oh, and what's the rationale for that?
That a lot of tenants are on leases, and they are all considered to be vulnerable tenants. Just like we have a 90-day notice period that applies to leases when they will be moving out, the same notion applies. That it's considered a no-cause eviction at the end, particularly when most leases right now are written, they're called periodic rental agreements, where there's an understanding that it will roll over into a month-to-month in perpetuity until either party takes affirmative action to change that relationship.
Right. Well, in that case, obviously, it turns into a month-to-month, as in the contract. Because if the contract says specific, it doesn't have that in. Wouldn't that be changing the contract if we then say that now you have to pay the relocation expense?
Not according to the city attorneys, but they would have to speak to that further.
Okay.
We vetted this. This issue about leases was probably the most discussion I had with our city attorneys over and over and over again. And what is written in the ordinance now was considered the most legal way which we could affect the most vulnerable tenants.
Well, here's just generally what I'm thinking, colleagues. This is an emergency measure, and it's a temporary emergency measure by the virtue of its ties to the housing emergency. So essentially what I'm hoping to do tonight is to do something to stop the emergency of massive displacements of people, as we've seen in the Titan and then Normandy and others, without doing harm to others in that emergency. So I'm trying to think, are there ways to exempt, for instance, the situation of moving your own family member into your unit? That was what you had, or the last one we explained of the ADU that was specifically built with the purpose of going to go into it when it's needed. So those are some of the kinds of examples that the exempting one landlord to only have one unit would seem to address, at least for the short term.
Are you making a motion, an amendment to exempt one unit?
I'm actually asking for discussion. I think this is
Well, I'll second it for purpose of discussion.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I want to offer a perspective. I understand the argument to create no exemptions, and that and there's a principled argument, and I've heard it, and it's powerful. I also want to just say we've just spent 6.5 hours in this room listening to people, and the people that are either investors or owners of the properties that are at issue in terms of headlines and big public concern, that's large multifamily units where people are put at risk, chose not to attend this hearing. And yet, dozens of mom-and-pop landlords came in and said, we have a unique circumstance and we'd like to be considered. Out of respect for the fact that people have taken time to share those stories, I'm inclined to create a very narrowly crafted exemption of one unit. And there's another reason why I think it's compelling. The gentleman who testified about the ADU, I think, really struck a nerve. This council effectively waived many of the rules that we normally apply to housing, to ADUs, because we wanted to encourage people to create an ADU with less red tape on their property. And specifically, we were told that it would help over time people transition from their homes to the ADUs to have a more affordable retirement. And it would seem to me that if we don't pay attention to, if we are acting, it's potentially inconsistent with that. I think that's a mistake. I don't see this as a big loophole, and I understand the virtue of having it apply to everyone equally. But I support the amendment to exempt one unit, particularly because I think it will provide, it will apply to the general, to anybody that has an ADU situation.
Commissioner Fish, could I ask for one clarification?
Sure.
So just by way of trying to be helpful and very specific to the ordinance as it's drafted, under Section B, there's a sentence about halfway through the paragraph in subsection B, sentence B, paragraph B.
Yes.
The requirements of this subsection,
yes,
do not apply to rental agreements for week-to-week tenancies. Could I suggest that we add, or to a landlord who rents out or leases only one dwelling unit in the city of Portland?
Well, it's Commissioner Fritz's amendment, but I think that's correct. That would be the intent.
That's right, yeah.
Very good. Okay.
I second the amendment.
And further clarification, the rulemaking amendment which you have put forward, obviously, you've drawn a line at one unit here, which personally I do think is appropriate based on the testimony. There were some other folks who came up and said, I own two or three. I would assume that over the period of 10 months that this ordinance is in effect, we'll also be looking at the implications for those landlords.
Yes, Mayor, and I just would also just add that since you have indicated an intention to create a landlord-tenant section within the Housing Bureau,
correct.
I view the advisory body that we've established as an interim body until a landlord-tenant section is created, the Housing Bureau, and they create their own ongoing advisory. But since we do not have one that currently exists, we're creating one.
That would be my understanding as well, Commissioner. Further discussion on the first Fritz Amendment, I'll call it.
And that is to exempt one unit, regardless of whether it's an ADU or a single family. I want to thank everyone for coming here to testify today, tenants and landlords, believe it or not. Some of my best friends are landlords, and it is certainly not our intention to create undue hardship to landlords. However, because this is an emergency ordinance, and because we don't know how many units would be excluded and what the impact would be, I don't support it respectfully, but everyone needs to vote their conscience. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Further conversation on this? Carla, could you please call the roll on this particular amendment, which exempts landlords who rent out or leases out only one dwelling unit in the city of Portland? Is that a correct interpretation?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, very good. Right. Call the roll.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
No.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
And then I had a second kind of part of that, Mayor, which was addressing the issue of we've already gotten here for an owner who temporarily rents out the owner's principal residence during the owner's absence, and I had suggested we would have for a set period of time. Even though we've just got the one unit exemption, I think we still should need to have that exemption also if the owner happened to be renting out other properties but then wanted to move back into their own home, then they wouldn't be covered by the one unit exemption that we just passed. Landlord, somebody may have, say, a duplex somewhere that they have been using for rental property, and they've continued to do that. They themselves lived in a single-family home. They went maybe on the military. They went overseas, and they want to come back to their own home. And I think that should also. I think people should be allowed to come back to their own home without a consequence.
So, are we discussing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what I was going to say, that so my what things I put. Could you please let us have a turn? Thank you. My previous amendment had been to say for a set period of time, but then as I was thinking about it, in particular with the military example, that sometimes people don't know how long they're going to be deployed overseas. So I think actually the better amendment would be just to strike the of not more than 1 year.
Could you clarify where that is, please? Oh, I see. Under the same section,
to an owner who
section
temporarily
D.
rents out the owner's principal residence during the owner's absence in this period there without exempting for not more than 1 year or for a set period of time.
So let's go to staff on this for a second. And Jamie, I know it's late, but so I'm not interested in creating an exception where a landlord can sort of as a pretext put a family member in a unit for a few months and then get the exception and then put it out. However, and I actually have personal experience with that. However, I am concerned about the person doing a tour of duty in the military and coming home. I am concerned about some of the narrowly tailored things. And those to me, I think, are, and Eric Zimmerman was going to testify about that, a veteran. He was not able to stay. That is a different situation, and I think it might be possible to craft a very clear exception to that. But if it's just the landlord wants to put a family member in, I fear we're creating
a
loophole.
That's not what I'm proposing.
Yeah.
So it is the, and presumably if you're away in the military, I know you can vote absentee, you must have a place that's your principal resident to know which house district you'd be in, right? I don't know how that works. But it would seem like you still have a principal residence here, even if you're serving overseas.
So, Demi, what do you think of that as a concept?
Well, we specifically put it in there because we understand that there are sabbatical situations, there's extended vacations, there's military deployment for sure. I don't think the one-year time frame is a big hiccup. We could certainly extend that to 3 years. I do worry about taking the time frame completely off the table because then you have a situation where a family who's been there for, 5 years, there's absolutely no intention of them to move and then the return is unexpected. So, the whole purpose of the sabbatical relationship is that there's a very clear period of time with which the tenant knows that they're going to be in that home and can make their own plan about what will happen after. If it's a nebulous time frame, it's the same situation they'd be in any other home.
Well, then it's open to interpretation, and there's other things. I think I understand why you settled on a year before. Commissioner Fritz, based on the evidence, the testimony we've heard, is the suggestion of a 3-year ceiling for now and something we can revisit in the future a good compromise?
It's hard to know because I don't really know how long military terms of duty are. I know that sometimes people re-up and they're gone for longer.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I am persuaded a fixed term is just better in terms of interpretation. But I would say that the process we've established with the Housing Bureau could very specifically address that. If we learn in hearing from the military services, from veterans organizations and others, that there is a compelling issue here, we could come back to council with a refinement.
So if we went to our original language that I proposed there for a set period of time, that could then be defined in the rulemaking?
Well, I'm torn here. Oh, colleagues, what do you think? I think we're all in the same spirit here. We're just trying to...
I think so. I mean, I'd like to point out it is a temporary emergency ordinance. We will be reconsidering it in October, so that is only 9 months away, and neither of these scenarios would transpire within... Well, I guess... Oh, boy.
Well, we did have the testimony of the fellow who's been away, wants to move back to his house.
Yes.
And it would, they'd have to find $4,500 by next week.
Yes. Well, no, he wouldn't have to find it by next week because we are amending the ordinance to specifically give people in those situations a grace period so that they're not automatically out of compliance. That was part of my amendment package.
Folks, please. Please, we're not in the...
We've had the public testimony. Thank you.
So there's that, and then there's the fact that a family wanting to move back into their home or move a family member into their home is considered just cause on the landlord's side. And in other cities that have stronger tenant protections than we do, that would actually trigger relocation assistance. Now, I'm not arguing that we absolutely have to do it that way. I'm just pointing out how other cities do it, and that these are not circumstances that no one has ever faced or made policy around before.
That's great, because obviously you're the experts on this in our council. So the just cause in Oregon includes putting a family member in?
We don't have just cause. We don't. They don't need to give.
So could I suggest
you could want to move your chickens into your house, and you could evict your tenants.
Yeah, no cause covers all of those eventualities.
Could I suggest a compromise? Because I think we're all adhering to the spirit of the conversation. We're just trying to figure out the specifics. Could we pick a time period and then have this be one of the issues that the work group comes back to the city council on, either at or prior to October 7th, 2017? Because then we'll have better information about what the right time period is.
I think Commissioner Fish suggested 3 years.
I prefer a fixed time, just I think it's easier to administer. And I think we're operating somewhat in the dark here in terms of how it would apply. But I think we should err on the side of latitude for families moving back in their own home, or a veteran coming back to his or her home. I would suggest a compromise of 3 years, if that's acceptable to sponsor.
Yeah, let's do that.
So that compromise, then, we will assume is worked into the amendment as already seconded, so we don't have to amend the amendment.
Right.
Is there further discussion on this particular amendment? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. And Commissioner Fritz, did you have one more?
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
That was it. Commissioner Udaly?
The only other one that I was thinking of, I'm sorry, is the hardship, the landlord being foreclosed upon, family emergencies, or other hardships.
I'm sorry. Before we do that, I have to do a little bit of cleanup work here. I forgot an important point. This ordinance is drafted in MIRROR. There's leases, and there are there's
the rental, no cause eviction,
the no cause piece. So we have to make sure the front and the back page are consistent. So on the first one, we adopted the landlord who leases only one dwelling unit in the city of Portland. That language has to obviously be mirrored in subsection C. Similarly, what we have just adopted is Commissioner Fritz's amendment also has to be mirrored in subsection C.
Yes.
And so could I quit? So if
Please
I could.
Interrupt.
So the it's necessary in order to hold the ordinance together that they be mirror images of each other. So could I ask you first to call the roll, Carla, unless there's further discussion on the exception for the landlord who rents out or leases only one dwelling unit in the city of Portland. Any further discussion on that?
This is one moved by Commissioner Fritz and seconded by Commissioner Fish.
Correct.
Thank you.
Sorry. It's getting late.
You can tell why she got a Spirit of Portland award, can't you?
Okay. Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Reluctantly, aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Okay, so that is fixed, and now we need to fix the other subsection of C, which gets to the amendment we just passed with regard to returning and the time period certain that was added. Could you call the roll?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. All right, Commissioner Udaly, I apologize.
I was just raising the issue of do we need a hardship exception?
I'm not moving one, and I don't have any way to craft it at this point, and I think if out of the PHB process there is some hardship raised by a tenant or a landlord or some third party, we could consider it, but I have no sideboards to have that discussion tonight.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Udaly.
So we have a couple amendments here. One is changing the period in which landlords will provide relocation funds from 75 days to 45 days prior to the termination date. And then...
Should we vote on those each separately, Mayor?
Oh, I thought they were a package.
They were introduced as one package. If people would prefer to vote on them separately...
Well, let's see if there's any objection.
Yeah, because I'd like to vote on them as a package unless there is an objection to any part of it. So there's the 45-day, and the next part was...
The next part is allowing a landlord who has already issued a 90-day notice of no cause eviction or a rent increase of 10% or higher to rescind that notice within 30 days of the effective date of these provisions. And that's just so that no landlord will be automatically out of compliance with this emergency ordinance.
They can rescind, they can reduce the amount, or they can pay relocation within 30 days.
Is there more, Commissioner Daly?
I'm just reading over this last bit. Did I hit all? Yeah, I've hit all the points. It's a lengthy passage, but...
Understood.
Yeah.
Are we good on that? Okay, so we will call those collective items Commissioner Udaly's amendment. Is there any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Salt. Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So the amendment passes. So now we're to the main motion as amended.
Carla, I just want to tell you that just to put it in context, last night in front of 1,000 people, I referred to our presiding officer as Mayor Hales, and so I won't even tell you how he retaliated. I won't even tell you how he retaliated in front of 1,000.
But it was funny.
But it was.
It was
funny.
Sweet justice.
And
very good. All right. Hey, thank you. So, is there any further discussion on the main motion before we take the roll?
Let's go.
Carla, please call the roll.
Well, thank you, everybody who's stayed this long and provided really good testimony, including the hundreds of people who have sent us emails, and hundreds more have called all of our offices, or at least have called mine. And thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for bringing this forward as soon as you could possibly get it done after you've been elected. Thank you, Mayor Hales. I mean, I did it.
That does it.
All right, mea culpa. It's
he
very
said he was going to rearrange the bureaus, and now there you go.
So Mayor Wheeler has really done a good job also in partnering on this. So kudos to everybody who's worked on it very, very hard. I think the main thing that I'm thinking of is this is a temporary measure. It's for 8 months, and it's something which we saw with our first testifiers from the Normandy is desperately needed. And so I have... at this hearing, decided I can enthusiastically support it for that reason. I do have concerns, many of which were raised in writing, and I do believe we're going to have to get together in a more collaborative process in addition to the process that Commissioner Fisher set up. I did hear some willingness to come to the table and to have a bigger picture discussion. And I think that needs to happen before these same conversations, or even while they do, happen at the legislature. Because this is not singular to Portland. And I think it is important that Portland is taking this step so that the legislature has something to go on and also has some urgency to get something done this session. I do think there may be some unintended consequences, and we'll have time in 8 months to see that. I am very glad to hear that the 3 months notice that we put in place last year for giving notice of a rent increase has been helpful. At the time, I came to realize that not doing it as an emergency ordinance was a big mistake because we had a lot of rent increases right before it went into effect, and that's why I'm... agree that if this happens, it should be an emergency measure, and that requires all of us to vote for it. Ernie Bonner was on the Planning Commission when I was. He was the planning director here in Portland at some of its most formative stages, like forming Pioneer Courthouse Square. and he was formerly the planning director in Cleveland, Ohio. And they adopted as a city a principle there that they would always make choices in ways that gave more choices to give to people who had fewer choices. In other words, they'd make decisions looking at who is the least able to make these choices and how we're going to give them an extra special amount of care. And although I think we've fixed some of the most urgent issues with the one unit exemption, there are other ones. I know that small investments, really good people, have three or four investments. We heard from the lady in North Portland with the two duplexes. There may need to be a refinement of this, but for today, we need to do something for the people who have no other choices, and that's why I vote aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to begin by thanking Jamie Dumphy on my team for staying late, and Jamie's with his daughter Penny, who's getting her first big taste of democracy in action. And Penny, I hope we haven't bored you too much with all the technical stuff, but thank you for joining us. And I want to begin by thanking Commissioner Udaly and Mayor Wheeler for bringing this forward and for structuring what I think has been a very good discussion and debate. And I want to say something about our newest commissioner, because I think it has gotten perhaps lost in some of the coverage of this event. When she ran for office, she ran on a singular issue. And when she was elected and sworn in, she determined that there were some legal roadblocks to doing what she wanted to do. And so she did something which is all too rare in politics, is she tacked pragmatically to something that she felt she could do as a down payment towards some things she wants to do down the road. And whether you agree or disagree with this policy, I would just say that that style of leadership is something which I think will serve her well and this body well, and I thank her for seeking a compromise that is less than she sought, but is, according to our lawyers, legally defensible. And there is a difference between running for office and being an advocate and then taking the oath and serving here. And one of the differences is when your lawyers tell you that there are hurdles that you can't get over and you're serious about the issue, then you make adjustments, because if you're so serious about the issue, you actually want to see progress and you don't want to be stalled in the courts. And so I thank you for working towards this compromise. And tonight I am going to support that compromise. Now, a couple things about this. We are going through extreme growing pains in this city. And that's why the two top issues on our agenda this year are going to be new resources to meet the crisis of affordable housing and stronger renter protections. And that's reflected in our legislative agenda. It will be reflected in what we do and say down in Salem. And it's reflected in what we're going to do tonight, which is a down payment. This is not going to solve the problem, and it's not a perfect solution. But no one has said that's the case. What we have instead is something which is legally defensible, which will provide immediate relief to people who are rent burdened. And I at the beginning of this hearing, Matthew and others put forth statistics which are very sobering. And frankly, we're living in a city now where people are making choices between paying their rent and putting food on the table. And that's not worthy of a city like this, and we need to take action. So I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight and to sharing their concerns. I have heard those concerns and taken extensive notes. And while those of you who came opposed to what we're going to do are not going to be satisfied by the following words, let me just say that I take very seriously our responsibility starting tomorrow to engage people that have concerns about this, both renters and landlords, and the Housing Bureau is directed to bring forward changes as necessary to improve this legislation. So this does not mark the end of that process. It is the beginning, and I expect that when the housing emergency in October is up for renewal, that we will have a more robust discussion, Mayor, about potential changes to this to strengthen it and to make sure that we've addressed any unintended consequences. On that note, again, I want to thank my colleagues and the public for a fascinating day and discussion, and I'm proud to vote aye.
Seltzman. Yeah. Seltzman.
Well, as we've heard today and tonight, vulnerable Portlanders on fixed incomes, as well as kids or working families with kids, are really being forced out of their homes. And what disturbs me perhaps the most of all is that kids have to move to different schools. And it's well known that any time a child has to move in school, that costs them about a year of learning. That is a price that is too steep to pay. In the last few years, the City Council has acted dramatically to increase the resources to create more affordable housing in our city. But that is a longer-term solution. And that's not the question before us today. And while I'm confident that over time we are going to create more affordable housing under inclusionary housing that just took effect yesterday, under the housing bond that just passed last November, under the dramatic increase in urban renewal resources that we've devoted to creating more affordable housing, I'm confident that in the long term we will make up that deficit. But it is a big deficit, and it does not help the families and children who are faced with the imminent threats of homelessness. I do not believe this policy is perfect, but I do believe it is necessary. And I appreciate Commissioner Udaly and Mayor Wheeler for their leadership on this issue. I take the feedback and candor of those who believe this is the wrong solution seriously, and I appreciate the robust discussion we had at today's hearing regarding those concerns. I believe during the next eight months, this policy in operation will be critical in gauging whether this policy is working and how it may need to be adjusted and whether it is having unintended consequences that we should be concerned about. But the crisis renters are facing is real and immediate, and this ordinance provides us the avenue to address this crisis now. Aye.
Udaly?
If I may, I'd like to extend the courtesy of Commissioner Udaly to vote last.
Wheeler.
So first of all, I'd like to thank Commissioner Udaly and her team for their tremendous work on this. They've identified what is certainly the number one issue that I've heard about over the last 19 months since I first indicated an interest in running for the mayor of this amazing city. People are at risk of being priced out and moved out, as we heard tonight. That creates displacement of young people in their educational process. It uproots community institutions. It makes it very difficult for people to continue to thrive in a neighborhood. All of these things are significant detriments to the development and the growth of this community. And while we could have heard from other voices tonight, I know there are voices out there who would also express real concern that too many people are being displaced in this community, particularly lower-income people of color who have for too long borne the brunt of the displacement in this community. I also want to thank the landlords who came tonight. I agree with the landlord who sat here and said that we should not demonize landlords. I agree with that fundamentally for the reason that I've met with a lot of landlords who helped me shape my own views and my own perspective on this ordinance tonight. And I know, and we heard from a number of what I would describe as very benevolent landlords tonight, and I want to acknowledge that reality. I also want to acknowledge that some of the concerns that they expressed around the supply of housing for workforce, the supply of housing for very low-income people in our community, that is of great concern to this City Council, and that, of course, is what Resolution 106 is about, which we pulled in favor of not talking about it, but actually getting to work on it through mayoral directive. So that's already in the pipeline. So there is a carrot here, and there is an obligation on our part as an institution to look at our own policies and practices to see how we can get more workforce and lower-income housing online. And I want to acknowledge the great work that my colleagues who've been here for a while have already been doing on that front. We also need enhanced renter protections. That has been very clear to me. And I want to echo the language of some of my colleagues that this does not provide complete confidence to anyone in this community. It is an imperfect solution, as Commissioner Saltzman just said, but it is a huge step forward in terms of renter protections as they exist in the community today. And like my colleagues, I am looking forward to hearing further discussions and conversations about the consequences of this and how we can improve it, shape it for the long term. We should have that conversation. So I look forward to that. I want to thank my own team, Kristen Dennis in particular, who has been putting in a lot of time on this. I want to thank the city staffs at the Office of Management and Finance, the Budget Office, the legal office. They've all been putting in a lot of long hours to help get this through today. And last but not least, I want to thank my colleagues. Thank you. And, of course, to everybody who stuck it out tonight for hours and hours to hear testimony. So I'm very happy tonight to vote aye.
You, Daly?
Everyone for coming and for giving your testimony. I want to assure you that I and my office have listened to all concerns expressed. Although we did receive overwhelming support for this ordinance, the most frequent concern we heard from landlords was the single unit owner, the truly smallest of the small-time operators. And although I'm concerned with the number of tenants who will be excluded from this protection, I'm glad that we were able to come to a compromise on that. We do not want to create extraordinary burden for landlords. I know that landlords are not generally millionaires, and that many homeowners are cost-burdened themselves, and that's certainly an issue that we will be looking at as we move forward. But the fact is, when it comes to housing, the people who are experiencing the most extraordinary burden in this city are renters, and they are low-income renters, and they have not had protections in place for 30 years. I want to remind, someone said earlier that we can't come change the rules. Well, the rules were changed 30 years ago on us as a city and on renters when the landlord lobby and the realtors and the Home Builders Association applied pressure to our legislature to pass a ban on rent control and take away our regulatory tools, which directly has led us to the crisis that we are in today. So the rules are going to change. However, I cannot assert enough, this is a temporary emergency ordinance. It is not ideal. It is not perfect, as many of my colleagues have mentioned. What we need is for the legislature to overturn the ban, return our tools so that we can sit down at the table with everyone and have a meaningful conversation about how the city of Portland is going to craft a fair and nuanced rent stabilization policy that protects both landlords and renters. We cannot do that until that ban is overturned. That is why we immediately pursued this option. It is the only tool in the toolbox. We listened to your alternatives tonight. There were some great ideas put forward. They will all take time. Some of them involve changing state law. This is literally the only tool the city of Portland has to protect renters, and we are using it. So, now to my thank yous. I'd like to thank the many community partners who have not only worked with us to craft this policy, but have been pushing the conversation of helping vulnerable tenants since this housing crisis began. I asked my policy director, Jamie Duhamel, to make me this thank you list so that I wouldn't forget anyone, because this is the first ordinance I've introduced, it's my first month in city council, and although I may seem very calm, this is extremely nerve-wracking. Well, she forgot somebody, and it's Jamie Duhamel. So thank you, Janie's. We could not have done this without you. And I want everyone to know that Jamie got, this option has been in discussion for several months, but Jamie started working on it on day one. Jamie kept working on it through the snowstorm. Jamie was cursing the skies because the weather emergency probably set us back 2 weeks. She would have liked to introduce it our second week, but she's just going to have to settle for our fourth. All right. So thank you also to Portland Tenants United for their tireless advocacy for tenants and everything they've done to lay the groundwork for this bold policy. In addition, we appreciate the support and partnership of Mayor Wheeler and staff, all the other commissioners and their staff, our city attorneys, Portland Housing Bureau, A Home for Everyone, Human Solutions, Multnomah County, and Speaker Kotek's office. I would also like to thank Living Cully, Rigler Elementary, and the tenants at the Normandy Apartments, and as well as Titan Manor, who were a little bit of a last-minute surprise for me, for coming together as a community to bring their story of economic eviction to all of our awareness. Thank you to all the landlords out there who believe in tenant protections and in doing the right thing for their fellow humans in unprecedented times. And finally, to all the tenants of Portland who have been doing their best to weather this crisis and to organize and fight for protections they deserve to have. Aye.
And with that, the ordinance passes. There being no further business, we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.